Our next article is entitled Worship Designed for All, A Deep-Rooted History of Lutheran Accessibility, written by Steve Lundeberg, who is written by Steve Lundeberg, a writer for Oregon State University News and Research Communications in Corvallis, Oregon. Nearly a century before the Americans with Disabilities Act became law, a Minnesota church chose accessibility over tradition. The result is a functional monument to making worship more inviting to all, especially people with hearing impairments. Vang Lutheran Church in Denison, 50 miles southeast of Minneapolis, was established by Norwegian settlers and traces its roots to 1862. By the 1890s, the congregation was outgrowing its original building, which was long and narrow like most all Lutheran churches in the area. For the new building, Vang turned to pioneer architect Olaf Hansen, who proposed a revolutionary concept, a square sanctuary with a horseshoe-shaped balcony, a design that offered a clear view of the pulpit for anyone who needed to read the speaker's lips. Al Aker, a recent graduate of Luther Seminary in St. Paul who interned at Vang this spring, said, "When I came and saw the sanctuary, I was very struck by it, and it's definitely a source of pride in the congregation. It's a beautiful sanctuary, and the members are active stewards in maintaining it." Born the same year as Vang, Hansen was a Swedish immigrant who had lost his hearing as a boy, first in his left ear, and then 2 years later in his right, when he was 13 years old. Following his graduation from the Minnesota State Academy for the Deaf in Faribault, Minnesota, he enrolled at Gallaudet University in Washington, D.C., and got a job as a draftsman, and then traveled to Europe to study architecture. When he returned home and went to work in that field, he was recognized as the United States' first deaf architect. By the time Vang came calling, Hansen had a 2-year-old architectural practice in Faribault that would eventually design 54 structures, including schools for the deaf in 3 states. He spent 1 month designing Vang's new building, and construction started in July of 1896. The new sanctuary featured, in addition to its U-shaped loft, large windows for allowing light to stream into the worship area. Hansen's design drew from the style of the Norwegian stave church, with soaring ceilings that form a Greek cross, one with 4 sides of equal length. "People sit more in a group, and they're not divided by aisles," said Rene Kester, the congregation's historian, whose family has been affiliated with Vang since its beginning. What's now stained glass originally had been clear, and the lighting in the church kind of has a golden color, the color of the oak woodwork. Vang's historic documents include a section titled The Theology of the Vang Sanctuary, which reads in part, "Hansen's design at Vang does not diminish the importance of the audible word, but draws the worshiper into non-audible elements of worship. People gather under the cross, yet also in the form of a cross, and therefore become the living presence of the suffering crucified Christ in the world. The invasion of outside light becomes a metaphor for the merciful God who enlightens the people who sit in darkness as they await Jesus' return." Acker said, "Human beings have always felt like they have been dealing with disability, and the gospel is full of people with disabilities of some sort. And the architect was deaf, so he was well aware of the challenges of worshiping in a traditional church sanctuary." Lisa Heffernan, ELCA coordinator for Disability Ministries, marvels at the progressive thinking that Vang showed in hiring Hansen and moving ahead with his unconventional design. She said, "I think it's an amazing thing that they there were intentional... She said, I think it's amazing that they were that intentional back then, noting that getting society to think and act in terms of accessibility remains a battle even today. Heffernan spends half her time working with Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of South Dakota, and the other half assisting congregations interested in improving accessibility. She says, we offer grants to congregations and ministries for programmatic and physical access types of things. Sometimes it's equipment so people can reach part of their church they couldn't before, and other times it's more specific, programmatic things. We'll engage with congregations, camp systems, and other groups for discussions on disability theology and disability ministries. Examples abound for ELC congregations prioritizing accessibility, she said. Among them are Christ the King Lutheran Church in Cary, North Carolina, which started a choir for people with intellectual developmental disabilities, Holy Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina, which is undertaking multiple building projects related to accessibility, and the Glenwood Lutheran Church in Decorah, Iowa, where the entire sanctuary, including the pulpit, has been made accessible. Heffernan said, soon we'll be releasing a monthly blog where we will have different leaders, lay and roster, share their stories about disabilities in the church. One church-wide initiative, she explained, is the Evangelical Lutheran Deaf Association, an organization of deaf congregations, interpreted ministries, which provide American Sign Language interpreters, and their members. Heffernan said, it's something we will be very proud to develop and to something that a lot of people connect with and will make more ministries happen.